Vic Rain is heading for where there is rain but no snow. Today is Sunday, November 9th, 2014, and due to the Chasdei Hashem and the Israeli Defense Forces, we're able to sit and learn and study B'Menuchat HaNefesh, and you can imagine your parents and relatives who are not in Israel just hear the news and wonder why we're not in bomb shelters today. A lot, the Arabs are rioting all over, and it shows you with all that we've given them, the Israeli Arabs, and they have more freedom than in any other Arab country. It doesn't help. It's a religious war, and it rises or falls on Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh. Okay? The Eibishter should watch over us. Today, I have a world to do. Let me start rolling. First of all, last week I mentioned something very quickly, and a few people asked me after class, what was I saying? They didn't hop it right away. So let me do it a drop slower, because it's something you'll have in the rabbinate you'll be able to use indefinitely. Pirkei Avot, Perek Hei, Mishnah Chaf. Kol machlochet shehi l'shem shemayim, sofa l'hitkayen. V'she'eino l'shem shemayim, ein sofa l'hitkayen. Any machloket which is l'shem shemayim will have positive results. When a machloket is not l'shem shemayim, the results will not be positive. So, and that's the famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "What's a machloket shelo l'shem shemayim korach v'adato machloket l'shem shemayim hilul v'shama." You all know. So I said over a word from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, and I'll say it in Yiddish first, then I'll attempt to translate it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, "When the Yetzahara retzach harayin as the machlekes is l'shem shemayim, soifal hitkayim ulahitkayim." That when the Yetzahara convinces you that you're fighting l'shem shemayim, it will last forever. The fight will never end. And that's what happened with the Erev. People got involved with l'shem shemayim, and the fight never ended. Now, David Newman, this is from Cleveland, I believe, Cleveland, Ohio, evidently comes from a Hasidic background. So he, first of all, he corrected my pronunciation on Vayetzna, if I'm pronouncing it right now, the Vayetzna Rebbe. It's the Mechutin with the Satma Sigita Rebbe. So I said, Vietzna, Vietzna it's pronounced. So I correct myself. And then we got involved in the whole question of telling a guy to turn lights off, to turn lights on. We were talking about the elevator question. So he said, some Hasidic Rebbein are known to say, Finstera or Tinkele Teira. That's a dash shlishit. What does it mean, finstera? It's dark already. Shabbat has ended. So in these cases, the lights are turned off or turned on. Generally, it's because of the yeska guy. Or it's a chassid who said, Baruch HaMavdil, the zman already is over, and they will do what the minhag hamakom is. When the Divrei Yoel, Reb Yoelish, the original Satmar Rav who came to America, was sitting shiva for his daughter. He had one daughter who reached America with him, and she predeceased him. So Rav Yitzchak Kutner was Menachem Avol. As they were starting to daven mincha, the Satmar Rav asked Rav Kutner if he daven mincha. Rav Kutner replied, "Noch nicht," meaning he was after Maariv. In other words, the mincha of the next day, it's too early to daven. And there you caught up. As I saw this summer, I was in a Satmar area. It was very hard for me to view them. I would come for Maariv, which followed mincha, but I always get the shul. I always have a sefer with me, so I'd rather be early than late. And pitch dark, way after Rabbeinu Tamshita, they are davening mincha. Unbelievable. Then he describes he was in. Excuse me? Yeah, all right, Gula, I understand. Right, right. You see that I used to see it weekdays at the Kotel. We're davening Maariv, and they're first gearing up for mincha. And then he writes to me that he was at Pesach. He was in Paris, and the hotel staff push the buttons and lock the doors. You had to ask them to come to do, and he was very upset by this. I'm not paskiming the halacha, but in Israel, I know the hotels I've been in, they always give you a card and a key for Shabbos. And you can, Shabbos, you totally switches to the key. You have no use for the card, which is fabulous. It solves all problems, obviously. Finally, Harry Ullman, who I believe is from London, quotes what I said about not cheating the government on taxes, and he xeroxed something from a sefer about the Satmarov, again, going back to Rabbi Yoel, and he tells the story that when the Satmarov built in Yerushalayim, so his people here try to give him eitzot, ways which to avoid paying taxes. And the Satmarov refused. He said, even though it's a government of minim, and it's a terrible government and all that, he thinks negatively of the government, but we don't want to make a chilul Hashem. He insisted they pay full taxes to the state of Israel. So at least on that level, we now found where the Satmarov and little Aaron Rakefet are in total agreement. Okay. The Satmarov, the Rabbi Olish. Yitzchak, relax yourself. I'm just saying that he refused to listen to his underlings who wanted to play shtick with the government. And you know where we're living. If Olmert is correct in what he just said about Barak, so we can't say one bad word about the Satmarov. At least he paid taxes. Okay. Gentlemen, let's not get involved with current events. I'm not saying a word. And let's be positive. And what we believe in, we believe in. Let the Satmarov, let his Hasidim be inspired by us and become proper Jews. Now, today's shiur is very fascinating, and I'm going to give you, if you have any feeling for depth of learning, you'll understand the few things I'll be saying. Oh, wow. It's not my own. I'll give you sources. But just to reiterate and to restate that this machloiket over Eruv took away the neshama of Reb Menashe Klein, and you see how much he suffered, what we did about last week, the story of terror. And this is something that's now part of the so-called Torah scene. This is why a guy named Aaron Rakefet doesn't bend to anyone, doesn't kowtow to anyone. I'm not overly impressed by anyone. I'm only impressed by people who are tzaddikim and tahorim and lamdanim. And to get involved, and this began with Reb Moshe, it began with the AID Tshuva, began in the late 50s, the early 60s, and this is just a continuation. Imagine to call up and tell the Rebbetzin, we're going to chop your husband to pieces. To call up and tell a little girl, is your Yeravim ben Nevat home? To throw the author's books out of the yeshiva, out of the libraries. And I lived through it in Yerushalayim. I don't know if Rabbi Rubin remembers, but when they went after Rabbi Steinsaltz in the 1980s, for reasons that I still can't comprehend, I consider Rabbi Steinsaltz as Talmud. At least for me, it's much easier to use than Art Scroll. Art Scroll, it's so verbose and so... Steinsaltz, it's right to the point. But all right, I can understand someone who doesn't have a background. Maybe Art Scroll is better. But for me, Steinsaltz is infinitely better. The Yunim and Rav Steinsaltz and what went on with the books and throwing them out. And he was very smart. He didn't respond. And they're right. And so they sang gesund. And he just continued to be positive. And that's what we saw last week. And Reb Menashe Klein, with all the heartache, but he holds by his position. The Agudas HaRabbanim got involved. Reb Aaron Cutler's name was thrown in. And I stand on what I said, even though I've been criticized by Reb Moshe's descendants, or some of them, in my own way of thinking, and I can prove it today as well. Reb Moshe had his position. There's no question he was against the Yeriv. He had Chidushim. He had many reasons why he was against. Some of them were his own. Some of them were traditional reasons. But to be so truculent, to be so adamant. This was not like Reb Moshe. And the Igudas HaRabbanim got involved, and the people around Reb Moshe. And it's hard to tell, and you'll see in a minute, hard to tell whether this was Reb Moshe per se, or whether it was those around him. But there's no question in my mind that the fact that it seems that Reb Aaron Cutler was in opposition added a lot to the anti-Erev forces. And that's Reb Aaron Cutler, and again, you fellas don't realize how much Reb Aaron accomplished now in America. Now, my Talmid, Jonathan Berger, I started to say Oseberger, that was his father, Zichron Uvracha. So he's a Bucky in Shas. So he picked up on what I said, what I quoted last week from Reb Menashe Klein, that when you start adding up who has the right to paskin, what do you know? I got smicha from YU. Does that give me the right to paskin a shayla and a ruvin? How many Rosh Hashiv in YU? Of the Rosh Hashiv in YU, the one who is probably the best posek on these difficult issues is Reb Heschel Shechta. Because Reb Heschel took a certain course, as I've said this about him many times, that my dear friend, colleague, we grew up together, I'll call him Rav Shechter in your honor. I know him as Heshi, but Rav Shechter quotes Svarim that the Rav never held in his hands. You understand? The Rav, he ever held, the Rav held a Sholem Meshiv in his hands? Stop daydreaming. The Rav was a Litvak, and then what all that implies, Rafi, it was a Litvak. But Reb Heschel Shechter quotes Svarim, and he's a posek, and he can be involved in a luvin, and you need a special expertise. So Reb Menashe Klein raised the issue: how do you count the students? Do they count as one, the Rebbe and the students? And my Talmud, Rabbi Jonathan Berger and Rabbi Yonason Berger, says something very interesting, and I discussed this at length when I dealt with the Kutas HaShach on Psak in Yoredeya, Reish Mem Bet. Many years ago, we spent, I think, a whole year on the Kuntras, on various parts of it. So I want to elaborate on what Jonathan said, and I totally agree with him. And gentlemen, do the Talmidim of a Rebbe count as one? And I'll tell you. Let's take the Rav for an example. Name some of the names of his famous Talmidim. Reb Heschel Shechter, Reb Aaron Lichtenstein, Reb Shlomo Lariskin, Reb Abba Brandspiegel. Give me some one. Or there was Tzvi Kanatopsky. Who? Kenny Branda, fine. Rabbi Branda, later period. Rabbi Yilson, that's my Talmud, who I pushed into the Rav. Rabbi Reichman. Tell me, we've now mentioned a slew of names. Someone from the audience signaled, threw my name into it. Fine, I'll accept that. Tell me, do any two of us think alike? You follow? Look at the Talmudim. Each one is different. Each one is different. As a matter of fact, as I've said many times, that was the tragic mistake of Jewish Observer, the late Jewish Observer. When they eulogized the Rav, they criticized him that all his Talmidim are so different. Unlike, let's say, Lakewood, I once was in Toronto on the main thoroughfare, and there's a saloon that turned into a shul. They told me, this is the Lakewood shul. It's all people who studied in Lakewood. I looked into the shul. I'd already davened Hashkama, and I looked into the shul, and I saw like 200 people, everyone dressed exactly the same. Exactly. And Jewish Observer criticized the Rav that he has Talmidim with ties. In other words, I'm adding to it now, with ties, without ties, with jackets, with hats, with beanies, with beards, without beards, etc., etc. Tell me, do the Talmidim of the Rav count as one, or does each one count as an individual? I absolutely would feel that when you're counting up the Talmidim of the Rav, we are all individuals. Those of us that know how to learn. In other words, I can't count if a guy just parrots what the Rav says, so he's the Rav's Talmud, he doesn't count. The Rav counts. But those who went out and charted their own paths. And I want you to know, Sir Rabbi, you should know about Rabbi Riskin. I'll give you a little fact. That when he came in Aliyah, you know, the rabbinate here didn't know him yet, but they did know him whenever they went to America to raise funds. They went to Rabbi Riskin. So they wanted to give him kosher rabbanut to be a rav of a city, Shmuel, without any exam. Okay? And he absolutely refused. He took the exam with all the other rabbanim. Would you care to guess who got the highest mark of all the rabbis that took the exam to get kosher rav ha'ir? Rabbi Riskin got the highest mark, an almost perfect score. So he knows how to learn. Rabbi Lichtenstein, I mean, you don't study with him, but Rabbi Shas was at his fingertips. What are you talking about? Rishonim were at his fingertips. Each one was different. Rakefet got involved in response to literature. He had Gilui Eliyahu today. I can tell you, I saw Rakefet have Gilui Eliyahu. What am I talking about? Moshe B., what do you think I'm talking about? I'm working on Shuvah of the Mishnah Halacha. That I'll do, God should spare me. I'll be over 80 when I reach it. Baruch Hashem. So I just called the Talmud to wish him happy 60th birthday. So he argues that I'm younger than he is. Okay, not so, but a little truth to it, yes. He has a beard. Man, when I got up, I veiled it from my mother. What I looked like, I looked into the mirror. I looked 120 years old. A big white beard. Oh, my gosh. I got it off as quickly as you could say, Shlomo LeKalbach. It's his yahrzeit today. So, Moshe, what I have, Gilui Eliyahu? I gave a talk at the OU a few weeks ago, Sunday night. Two of the people sitting here, where Herbie was at the talk, Yitz was at the talk. My whole talk, Vic was at the talk. My whole talk, I couldn't believe it. Yomo was at the talk. It's right there in the Mishnah Halachot. Word by word, the man must have Ruach HaKodesh. One Shuvah he wrote in the 80s, one he wrote in the early 90s. He already heard Rakefet speak 20 plus years, 30 years before it happened. You see, this is Das Torah, this is Ruach HaKodesh, this is Rav Menashe Klein. But Rakefet was dancing on the table with joy. That word by word, my whole talk, my whole beginning, my whole thrust, my whole theme. There, and not only that, we're in total agreement. So when it comes to the Rav, I absolutely agree that every Talmud counts on his own. Let's say Rav Aaron Kotler, I don't know. In other words, Lakewood, and this is the big problem the Rav had with the swing to the right, the sameness. Someone asked me in the Monday class, maybe the Rav's swang to the right, because we're going to talk tomorrow. Tomorrow's an unbelievable shiur on what happened, the saddest day in the history of Yeshiva University, the saddest day. And we're going to give the background, we're going to go back to the 1920s, we're going to really give information. So someone said, maybe the Rav swang. Absolutely not. I can't go into it now, but in the second volume of the Rav, the World of, you'll see what I quote. And I spoke with Rebbe, I have these ears heard from him, face to face. And you see, the Rav couldn't handle the sameness. If he would look into a room and see 200 people with black pants, white shirt, black hat, all bearded, looking the same, thinking the same, he couldn't handle it. To him, it was a desecration of the uniqueness of man, the Tselem Elokim in man. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, what's it, Daf Lamed Zayin, I believe, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that everyone is different. It's not like you make coins. The communist system made beautiful medals of Stalin and Lenin. Millions of millions were sold, and they were given away for a kopeck, for nothing. If you're a ruble, if you didn't have it in your house, when the KGB walked in, you were arrested and sent to Siberia. Everyone bought, every medal the same. But human beings, no two are alike. So it's interesting. What we said last week and what Rav Menashe Klein said, that Talmidim don't count, they only count as one, it's an interesting point, and I would add the postscript, and I totally agree with Jonas and Berger, and I think I discussed this years ago when I did the Kudras HaShach, that that you have to differentiate between Talmid, Talmidim, who are Talmidim of the Rebbe, but they went out on their own. They charted their own course. And there's a Gemara, I believe it's in Sukkah, where they boast about the Talmidim, how each Amora was different. Each person had different qualities. And I remember Chaim Soloveitchik, my classmate, Professor Soloveitchik, saying about Steve Riskin, of all my father's Talmidim, he was the biggest builder. And I can only tell you, I lost out because wherever I go, I'm introduced as a great historian of Torah. No one has ever said a word that here is a man who knows a little bit of Shas and Paiskim and Shelet and Shuvit and Kampaskin and Shiloh is Matir and Aguna. No one ever says it. Because what I've published, obviously, is the books on my doctorate and all that followed. And even worse, when Reb Leizer Silber, when the Silber era came out, the Rav said to his shamashim, who were my students, oh, he said, Rabbi Rotkoff is my historian. He is the historian that I raised, okay? Finished. So this is the builder, this is the historian, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Bucky par excellence, Rabbi Hashil Shachta, photographic memory, Bar Sid She'enu Ma'abed Tipa, Posek, Rabbi Meir Tversky, I don't know, list out the Rabbi Heschel Reichman, he's already Hasidish, it's already a little bit different than the Rabbi, etc., etc. Okay. Now, let me go one step further and let me pick up where I left off last week. And here we come into a problem that we raised when we spoke about the Masorat Moshe. And this is very fascinating. And it just makes my case about Rabbi Aaron Cutler all the stronger. Now, the relationship, again, we have many children, we have many grandchildren, many great-grandchildren. But the way life works, you don't have the same relationship with everyone. When children are young, the parents have a warm relationship. I just heard the Rav talk about this today in the car. And the Rav had such insight into life. When children are young, they need the parents. The parents need the children. Children grow older. Sometimes they tell the parents, go fly a kite. We don't need you. Even from kids, you know, they're on their own. Then some of you are psychologists. You know what I'm saying? They accuse the parents. Any problem they have in life, it's a result their parents did this wrong, that wrong. I've had problems that have come my way, and I gave lectures on Kibbut Avayim in this very room. And the underlying point, parents, normal parents, never harm a child willingly. They make mistakes. This is why Rav Hirsch says, a Bukhar gets Pishnayim, because you make all your mistakes on the Bukhar. That's Rav Hirsch's thought. It's a good thought, 100%. But kids grow older, and some kids remain closer, less close. Certainly grandchildren, of all Reb Moshe's grandchildren, Mordechai Tendler, from what I gather, was the closest to him. Am I right or wrong, Vic? Is that a fair statement? He was the one who stayed in the house. He was the one who guarded Reb Moshe. Now, there's another fact of life. As you grow older, you can do less. Whatever the reasons are, I had a wedding last week. My great niece got married in Kibbutz Kfar Etzion, I think it's called. I can't drive there at night and come back at night. So my daughter took me. All right, you're dependent upon your children. Sometimes I have to leave Yerushalayim, so a grandson will drive me. Fine. Reb Mordechai Tendler was very close to Reb Moshe. He guarded him. He answered questions for Reb Moshe. Now here I'm quoting to you from the Igrot Moshe. This is Orach Chaim Chelek Hamishi. It's the fifth time that Reb Moshe dealt with Orach Chaim. This volume came out in 1996. 1996, it's 11 years after Reb Moshe died. Look into the Orach Chaim section, Siman Chaf Dalet. Now, what is Siman Chaf Dalet? What's the date, first of all? 1983. 1983 already tells you this is when Reb Moshe was ill and weak. He has 2 more years left to live. Not a simple time for Reb Moshe to write a tshuva. Now, it may be it's 1982. I'm looking at Kislev, Tashmag. So it could be it's before the English calendar changed. So maybe Tashmag, which we'd normally translate as 1983, maybe it's 1982. Fine. And here you have a long, long tshuva. L'matlat kvod nechti hayaka chabib denafshayi harav hagon Reb Mordechai Tendler Shlita. A long, long tshuva. What's the tshuva about? It has about 10 different items. It's like Mesoret Moshe. Mordechai Tendler asked Reb Moshe endless questions, and these are the answers that Reb Moshe gave. Okay, now, who wrote this long tshuva? Did Reb Moshe write it? Did Mordechai Tendler write it? Did they combine efforts in writing it? We'll never know the answer to this question. Is it reliable? And this is a real problem with all the later volumes of the Igrot Moshe that came out. Lo b'chayav shel Reb Moshe, but long after he died, can we totally depend upon these volumes? I have to tell you, it's the same question you have with the Rav. The Rav b'chayav, all he basically published was philosophy. And Rakefet's theory is, without great detail now, why did he basically only publish Jewish philosophy, Darshanut? Because he was a brisker, and when it came to halacha, they were always afraid that they hadn't hit the emet, they hadn't hit the truth. They say, Reb Chaim said, not everything you think you say, not everything you say do you print, and do you write, and not everything you write do you print. And they were always worried, they were mamish psychologically frightened. They were perfectionists, not the publishing halacha. When it comes to Jewish philosophy, I think you all know you can't be wrong. There's this viewpoint, there's that viewpoint, the Maimonides, Nachmanides, the Rashba, they all dabbled in philosophy occasionally. But Ribbono Shel Olam, to say right, wrong, did God have a corporeal form? Didn't he have a corporeal form? Yud Gimel Midot, look at my Talmud's book. 1 second, who am I thinking about? I'm blocking out. Mark Shapiro, Professor Shapiro, look at his book on Yud Gimel Midot. Even there's Machloiket right down the line.
Not Yud Gimel, I mean Yud Gimel
Karim. Thank you. Rabbi Rubin corrected me correctly. Yud Gimel Karim, and even there was Machloiket right down the line. So that's what the Rav published. Now, since the Rav died, or from the point that he couldn't, was not functioning already, as early as 83, Shermel Zeich Abba Murray, a world has come out attributed to the Rav. And here you have to ask the simple question, can you depend upon all these books? Are they accurate? Are they really what the Rav said? Has the editor, the author, been intellectually honest, or do you find he's seeing the Rav through his prisma? And this is a legitimate question. So we're not going to have an answer to the question. This is in Reb Moshe. But what's amazing here, and this is what I told you last week, Reb Moshe was asked by Mordechai Tendler, why are we so makil when it comes to kishutim that a person wears, not malbushim, particularly in relation to women? And this is a tremendous question. You can lecture on it indefinitely. I mean, the whole question, for instance, is a man allowed to wear a watch where there's no Erev on Shabbat? No, you all know it's a tremendous... Reb Moshe himself paskins that Baal Nefesh should be machmir and not wear a watch. Women, all types of jewelry. And what's the fear with jewelry? It could be a woman's allowed to wear a takshet. This is the whole sugya of Yishol David. golden Yerushalayim, the description in Shabbos of that beautiful medal or ring or the pedant that a woman wore. And of course, the fear is, like Michael said, that Shema Yavirenu Dalaramat Bershutarabim, you'll take it off, you'll show it off. A woman just got engaged, she's showing off her ring. That is not in Israel. Israel, I hope we have different values. But in America, lo aleinu, money speaks, flashiness, sharpness, the fancy of the car. I just saw the Satmar Rebbe's new car. Wow, big Cadillac, Kedat V'Kedin. I think it's Rebara Ladesha. My name is also Aaron. How come I don't drive a Cadillac? Okay. Someone's ein Gesund. I drive a Hyundai. I can't even pronounce it, but that's what the way they tell me it's pronounced in Israel. So you understand. Yavirenu Dalavad. And Rav Moshe particularly is discussing gloves. That women, and he says, Bota Yadayim. That's the rabbinic word for gloves. And Rav Moshe says, why are we so lenient? And here, believe it or not, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's on page Pevav, the bottom of the first paragraph, and the continuation of the second paragraph on the top page, Rav Moshe sounds exactly like Rav Menashe Klein. And he quotes all the sources that we have been quoting for months now, that there are shita, that you're not just creating reshita rabbin with tetzayin amot like the Rambam shita, but you need 600,000, and you need 600,000 out in the street every day, and you need 600,000, I'm walking, and Reb Moshe quotes all the sources. And that's why Reb Moshe says we're mekil to build an Erev with Surat HaPetach, and we don't require doors, and we're nohek like Rashi Lakula. And this is why in our country, where many poskim feel like Rashi, agree with Rashi, Nohagot hanashim sheyotzei petach shiteihem bizmaneinu, and we permit them to wear all types of jewelry, and we permit them to wear gloves, and we're mekil because we do not paskin like the Rambam. Gentlemen, this is attributed to Reb Moshe Feinstein. If this is attributed to Reb Moshe Feinstein, take the last year and a half of Shiurim and just wipe them out and apologize. What's the machloket? What's going on? All right. We can say, and I'm positive Reb Moshe was telling this to Reb Mordechai Tendler, that we paskin differently, but it's a basic machloket we've shown him. And it's a machloket in the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, those who want to be lenient, yesh al mi l'smoch. Okay. Look into the Mishnah Halachot. Reb Menashe Klein, Chelek Tetvav, Siman Kuf Chav Dalet. And this is not a tshuva to anyone. This is Reb Menashe Klein, who's dancing on the table. He's just opened up Reb Moshe's new volume, Laman Hem Metva Shalom Ulaman Achai V'Rabba Arayai Adabrana Shalom Bach. And he says, big argument. Everyone criticized me. The Erev in Brooklyn. But he says, Reb Moshe now changed his mind. He agrees with me. All that was quoted in the argument with Shuvah that Reb Moshe wrote before the 1980s. And here, We have a tshuva from 1982-83, Kashmag. And Reb Moshe quotes Rashi. And Reb Moshe quotes the Dei'ah HaMekilah, the Avshalis Mochalzeh. And that's why we're Mekil. And that's why we build with the Tzura Papetach. And if this is the case, I have the greatest proof that Reb Moshe now agrees with me. If you're Chayshish V'shita Tarambam, HaRotza LaHachmir LaAtzmo, Yachmir LaAtzmo. However, you have to go out of your way to help us make an Erev of Tzura Tapetach exactly like Reb Moshe says in this Shiva. Wow. So what does this prove? It strengthens my theory. If Reb Moshe, and I can't believe Reb Mordechai Tendler would write something like this, but you know Reb Moshe and you know Reb Mordechai Tendler. What do you think? He would not make this up. In other words, it could be Reb Moshe didn't write it. It could be Reb Mordechai Tendler wrote it. But this is not something he's going to write without hearing it from Reb Moshe. And if Reb Moshe can say this and let him write it, and later it's published, it shows you that Reb Moshe was not that strident, that Reb Moshe was that not that vociferous. And it shows you that Reb Moshe understood that Reb Moshe Klein had a very strong case. But the Agudat HaRabbanim got involved, the Frumkeit in America got involved. And remember, if Reb Aaron Kotler was opposed, he was a towering, towering figure. So this tshuva is endlessly fascinating.
And this whole picture, yeah. Where is Reb Moshe Tendler come in?
Reb Moshe Tendler is Reb Mordechai Tendler's father.
I know. Does he come into this?
Not here. Reb Moshe Tendler stars whenever Reb Moshe Feinstein got a question on medical issues. That's where he and it's interesting that Reb Moshe Feinstein had two daughters who married two boys, and each one was named Moshe. It's amazing. Reb Moshe David and Reb Elia Moshe Shizkal.
Is his wife still alive?
Reb Moshe Tendler's wife died a few years ago, a great, great lady. Oh, God. It's a sad story. But there was a lot of Akmas Nefesh in the family. It's not for now. And we'll never know where the truth is. These are questions that hang fire. I hope the truth is with Reb Mordechai Tendler, but you know, people will argue with me. I don't know. It's not something I can have an opinion about. All right. Now let me show you something. And this is a tshuva. How many of you are planning to go into the active rabbinate? Are there any hands going up? All right, one person in doubt. Anyone else? No one else? The active rabbinate? Oh my. This tshuva, every Rav going into the rabbinate should study it backwards and forwards, because there's unbelievable advice in here that every rabbi needs. And I need not tell you, we're living at a time where it's not exactly considered respectable today to be in the active rabbinate. I recognize that what happened in Washington, D.C. is an isolated instance, but it's Washington, D.C., it's Far Rockaway, Lawrence, it's Chicago, it's Yerushalayim, it's Tel Aviv, and it's very frightening, one scandal after another. Perhaps to avoid scandals, watch the common sense here. Now, the tshuva is very fascinating, halachically. You see, now Reb Moshe Klein has a reputation that he's Matir Erev. No, it's not him, it's the Chatam Sofer's Matir Erev, the Rosh's Matir Erev. He has a long history. But in modern times, everyone calls Reb Moshe Klein. So look into Mishnah Halacha, Chelek Tetvav, Siman Kuf Lamed. Okay. Kuf Lamed. 1:30. Siman Kuflamet. Vic, once again, you knew Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. Tell me, was Reb Aaron Soloveitchik in favor of making an Erev in a big city? Yehareg v'al ya'avar. As Rabbi Rubin said, why was it that in Chaslovich there was an Erev, but in Boston the Rav was totally opposed to building an Erev? Good question on the Rav. I have no answer. It's a question that I would ask him. Rabbi, memele, ihr wilt machmer sein, vavakasha. Aber in Chaslovich ist gewann ein Erev. If we combine an Erev in Brookline, for Vastnish, I would ask the Rav. Plain and simple. It's a good question. He might answer that Chaslovich was not a Rishut Rav in the Oraita, and Boston is. Could be. When the Boston Red Sox play a game at Fenway Park, I don't know, maybe hundreds of thousands of people are out in the streets, those getting into the stadium, those outside, those standing behind the, what's it called, the Green Monster? Do I have it right? The Green Monster? All right, you got to know Boston, the Fenway Park. It's for baseball addicts. All right, Vic, where did Reb Aaron go to live? Chicago. Okay. Chicago. Now let me quote Rav Kefet. Once you build an Erev in Muncie, in Kew Gardens Hills, in Staten Island, you start talking already Manhattan, Brooklyn, every community wants an Erev. Believe it or not, Chicago turns to Rav Menashe Klein, 1986. Again, it's Kislev, Tashmav, so it could be 85 or 86. Got to look at a calendar. And turns to Reb Menashe Klein. Would they help him? Would he help them in building an Erev in Chicago?
Who actually in Chicago did this?
Wanted to do it. The name here of the Rav who turns to him is Shneur Zalman Rakoff. If anyone recognizes the name, you can tell me who he is. I don't recognize the name. Rav Shneur Zalman Rakoff Shlita, Menachel, Merkaz HaRabbonim de Chicago, Illinois. So he was heavily involved in the rabbinate. He was like, I would say, the position that Rabbi Reis has today, perhaps. Merkaz HaRabbonim of Chicago. And he turns to Rav Menashe Klein. And Rav Menashe Klein seems to know Machadrishat Kvodo Biyedidutu B'Kavod LaRabbanim HaGoinim De Chicago B'Klal U'Malat Kvod Torato B'Prat. And he says, you turn to me because you say you hear that I am Mata Eruvin and I built an Eruv in Brooklyn. And he says, let me correct you. I'm not involved in anything halacha lemaisa. I don't get involved in building a riven. I don't get involved in any hechsherim. And we've quoted this before. I don't give a heksha not on food, not on meat, not even on salt and garlic. And I haven't given an Erev on any Erev until today. But if you're asking me about an Erev, then he says, I will tell you, it is true that I've written many tshuvot, and I feel very strongly that every community has to build an Erev. And he describes the women pushing the baby carriages. I don't have to tell you, if you've ever lived, and I grew up without an Erev anywhere, our worst nightmare was Sukkot, Shabbat Sukkot, where you have to walk to the shul sukkah. Who had sukkot in the Bronx? Big buildings, one next to another. But the shuls built sukkot, so you knew someone with a little private house, or at least a backyard in the Bronx. So you would eat in his sukkah, they did you a favor. But how do you get your food there on Shabbat? This was a nightmare. Okay, some people used to lower it down with pulleys. into the backyard. Rabbi Gorelick used to do it. I don't know, maybe they built a little Erev around the backyard. It was a nightmare. But the bigger nightmare, which is every Shabbat of the year, the women are locked into the house with little children. If you can't take a carriage out, how can you get a little child out of the house? And I need not tell you that Shabbat, you want to go out, you want to go for a walk, you want to go to shul, you want to go to a kiddush, you want to visit people, and the question becomes overwhelming. So he says, yes, I'm in favor of a river, I want to help the people. And he quotes a very fascinating Gemara. It's a Gemara we have not quoted before, but a very powerful Gemara. A Gemara in Beitza, Daf Tet Zayin Amid Bet. And it deals with Yontif Shachal Liot Bi Erev Shabbat. And before Yontif, you forgot to make an Erev Tchumen, and you forgot to make an Erev Chatzerot. What can you do on Friday, Erev Shabbat Yontif, if you want to make an Erev Tchumen for Shabbos? That you should, what does it mean, an Erev Tchumen? For the sake of argument, a great Maggid is coming to town, and he's going to preach in a neighboring community, and in order to reach there, you have to be able to walk 4,000 cubits, 4,000, how much does it work out in miles, I don't know, 4,000 cubits, and 4,000 amot, 4,000, what would it be, 18 inches each amah, figure it out. And so what do? To walk 4,000, you're allowed to walk 2,000 out of the city. But you're in the city, you have 2,000 this way, 2,000 this way, 2,000 this way, 2,000 this way. So if you leave food 2,000 amot away, and you're koni your shvita there, that this is really where I am for Shabbat, at the start of the Shkia, at the start of Hadlakat Neirot, you now have 2,000 to there, and 2,000 beyond. You can't walk the opposite way, but you can walk to the city where the Chacham is going to speak. All right, you all know it's a sugya, and I'm quoting an open Mishnah now. So what happens if you forgot to do that and Shabbat the Chacham is coming? The other question, Erev Chatzerot, you have a backyard and you want to be able to carry back and forth from your yard to your friend's yard, you want to share food, you want to eat together, you want to play together, the kids want to take a ball to the backyard, and you forgot to do an Erev Chatzerot. You forgot to take bread and make an Erev Chatzerot, that you're all becoming one, that you should be able to carry back and forth. It's fenced in, that's not a problem, but you have to make an Erev Chatzerot, right or wrong. Okay, so you forgot to do it before Friday. What can you do on Friday? So without going into the full details, the Gemara reaches a conclusion, an Erev Tchumim you cannot make. Why can't you make? Because the Isa Tchumim applies not only on Shabbat, but on Yontif as well. If it applies on Yontif, then how can you make an Erev Tchumim on Yontif if you're forbidden to walk on Yontif as well? As far as an Erev Chatzerot, on Yontif you're allowed to carry. If you're allowed to carry, then you can make an Erev Chatzerot. Shabbos you can't carry, but Yontif you can. If you can carry, you can do everything possible to prepare for Shabbat. You made an Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to prepare for Shabbat. And that's what the Gemara paskins. And the Gemara tells a story where some young Talmud Chachim paskined, you can't make an Erev Chatzerot as well on Yontif. And the Gemara uses the words, Hora'ah dahai tzura derabbanan lekilkula. That decision by that rabbi was terrible, a total mistake. And he was makalkel et harabim. He caused harm to the public. And Rashi explains, what do you mean he caused harm to the public? because people carried on Shabbat back and forth. They didn't realize there was no Erev Chatzerot. Sheshochachin umetaltalin below Erev. And from this Gemara, that's a terrible mistake you caused harm. From this Gemara you see, Rav Menashe Klein says, you should always try to make an Erev. Save people from sin. Did you ever daven in the Bronx in the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s? Young Israels from shuls, proper mechitzat, rabbanim from the old country, drashat and Young Israel generally in English, although many shuls that were not Young Israels, the drashat were in Yiddish. Did you ever look into people's pockets? Handkerchiefs, keys, medicines, sucking candies. These were good people. But the world simply forgot, you can't do this on Shabbat. How can you live without locking your door? Even in Israel, didn't you just catch a thief in the dormitory, I was told? We've had problems like this over the years, time and time again. Some guy walked in, a shomer was fired last year. He walked in right past the shomer, a guy with a big kippah, and he robbed computers right here in this building.
The street of Lebanon Beit Shemesh has had like 30 robberies.
30 robberies, and I can tell you the building that I live, one floor below, and we're in a, built on a mountain, so there are two apartments, one floor below entry, although there are two flights up on one side because it's on a mountain. Those apartments were robbed. The apartments at the entry level were robbed. And one flight above, and robbed some of them even more than once. And that's in the heart of Rehavia. God have mercy, how many cars were robbed from our parking lot. I had the misfortune that someone came in from France 5 o'clock in the morning. So after destroying the whole front of my car to try to get it started, the thieves ran away. Halavai, they would have taken it. But I have to say, believe it or not, the police picked up a fingerprint because they were trying, they had a trouble getting it started. They generally can bypass the alarm in a minute. And believe it or not, the Arab was caught and he was arrested as a terrorist because he came from Ramallah and they had a record of him from before. He's in jail now. But it didn't help me. Halavai would have robbed the car. I would have got sold it. What I had to go through to fix, and I had to pay 1,800 shekel out of my pocket, you know. It's a deductible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Recently?
I try to block it out. It must be 2 years ago, So Baruch Hashem, I would not buy a Skoda again. For whatever the reasons are, everyone is robbed. The Arabs rob Skodas, but no one touches a Hyundai unless they're desperate. Okay. So this is an amazing Gemara that they say that this Rav who didn't let them build an Erev Chatzerot on Friday, it's a tremendous kilkul because people were Machalo Shabbos because of him. Allah had come of a common Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, keys, tissues, medicine, you name it. This way you build an Erev. Those who want to carry can carry. Those who don't want to carry, what if you forgot? And Rav Menashe Klein is so strong here. So positive, so firm, and he says, yes, I'm absolutely interested in guiding people halachically to build an Erev. Ah, but then he goes into some of the halachic questions, and he throws out the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, I need not tell you, is critical to any discussion of a Ruvim Bisman Hazeh. Where do you have a Reshut HaRabim? You walk in the streets of Yerushalayim and I look at the buildings, there is absolutely no Reshut HaRabim. It is fabulous. He describes Los Angeles. He says, we helped them to build an Erev there, we guided them. And then he speaks about, and I'll show you a picture later today, if not today, next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, he talks about even putting up doors. Do you have to close the doors? Do you have to block off the highway? And he says in Los Angeles, they put up doors on the main highway on either side, and once a year they close them for 1 minute. There are even achronim who say you don't have to close the doors at all. I'll show you a source later. You don't have to close the doors at all. Queens Boulevard. I believe it's Queens Boulevard. I'll show you a picture of doors on either side of the highway. I believe it's in Kew Gardens. I'll show you. We'll get to it. And he says, yes, we have to do what we can. And once again, he lists out all the cities, Warsaw, Vienna, Amsterdam, Paris. The Chazon Ish was mata, Reb Chaim Moshe was mata. And he says, Baruch Hashem, we have ample authorities on who to depend. And then he says, if the Rabbanim, who are reliable and who are learned, HaRabbanim HaKsherim B'Charedim L'Dvar Hashem, won't put up the Erev, then he says, watch this, the modern rabbis, the conservative rabbis, U'Kiyotze Behem L'Mineihem, and they'll put up the Erev, they'll be the Balabatim, you can be sure the Erev will not be kasher. Gentlemen, I want to ask you one question. Who is he referring to when he says the modern rabbis? No, he doesn't say. But I am a little bit worried that he means rabbis who look like Aaron Rakefet. No rabbinic garb, no beard, no payas. I'm a little worried. I don't know. The modern rabbis. Who does he mean? Who does
baseball
he
cap.
Baseball cap. Who does he mean? Who does he mean? All right. Young Israel, Young Israel had such chashuv rabbanim. Some of them were Rabbi Ramni. What was his name? He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. What was his name? Ramnik, right? He was Rabbi Avigdor Miller, was Rabbi of the Young Israel of Rugby, right or wrong? The chashuv rabbanim. What do you want out of Young Israel? But who does he mean by the moderns? Okay. Maybe he means the element that gave birth to Chovevei Torah. I don't know. Maybe he means that. He had visions of the future. I actually don't know.
That's not fair.
But what's not fair?
To say that he maybe meant
that. I don't know who he means. Does he mean why you only? I don't know. Maybe that element I said that gave birth. I don't know. But anyway, be it as it may, I'd like to believe that if he's referring to modern Orthodox rabbis, that if they put up an Erev, they will get experts. If they don't know how to do it, they will bring in the experts. And I can tell you in Melbourne, Australia, everyone holds by the Erev. I couldn't get, because the Melbourne will come to Australia. There should be a big problem with an Erev there because Chabad, the Rebbe, was opposed. Or we'll see. I have material that will blow your minds. But everyone holds by the Erev. I said, how can it be that you have an Erev that the Lakewood crowd holds, the Chabad crowd holds, the Mizrahi crowd holds? And they told me very simply, when they finally decided to build an Erev, they brought in someone who was, everyone agreed they could depend upon him. And that was our friend, my friend and Rabbi Rubin's friend, Shimi Ida, Seichet Tzadik Levracha. And Shimi Ida, YU boy, Lakewood boy, Posek, Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein afterwards, and he built the Erev in Melbourne. Now, he showed them what to do, and what Surat HaPetach, and what to use, so that's how they solved the problem. Not modernim, and not conservative, not even Hasidish, Reb Shimi Ida. Okay. Remember we used to sit with him in the Musavad? We'll get to the Musavad, not this, in the Monday class.
Right.
He's overstating the case. But you have to remember that the conservative in the 40s, the 50s, even in the 60s, they were much closer to traditional Yiddishkeit than they are today. So he may have known one or two who spoke in terms of an Erev. Could be.
What was the relationship with Rav Soloveitchik?
I don't think there was a relationship at all, but because how did they know each other? But by the time Reb Menashe Klein became famous, the Rav was out of it already, Lo Aleinu. You're talking the 1980s. But there were Ungarische, he's not the only one who came after World War II. But it's amazing what you just said, Yitzchak, because you took the words out of my mouth. And he says here that in Brisk, everyone knows there was an Erev. And he says, Reb Chaim, Briska wouldn't carry. And the Morah Harad, the Av Beit, and Reb Simcha Zelek wouldn't carry. But they checked the Erev to be sure that it was kasher. And if that's the case, if even in Brisk with Reb Chaim, he says, Rabin, Chafetz Chaim didn't carry, Baal Nefesh Shachmir, but there was an Erev. Then Alachat Kama Vakama, he says, there should be an Erev in Chicago. But now we're coming to the heart. Give me just 1 second. I want to see that I know the names. Noah Cohn, Zev Kahana, Menachem Davidson. 1 second. Wasn't he? No, he wasn't there. God, I got him. Rafi Glickman, Moshe B. Schwartz, Aaron Cherniak. Anyone know where he is? Again, people tell me that they don't have time, they're so busy. Ugh. It's a shame. The Art Scroll destroyed us. Yomo! Yitz, Herbie, Vic, Shmuel Goldstein. Rafi Klein is getting married. I'm getting married in the morning. It's going to be interesting, eh? Isaac Atia. Don't see him. Moshe Schwartz. Moshe Schwartz, I see. Dov Karp. Alex Glassman, I don't see.
He's in America.
Oh, he's in America. If anyone knows anyone going back to Brooklyn, let me know. I want to do a chesed. I need a drop of help. Steve Breschler. Adam Friedman. Okay. Michael, you're on this side. Say them. I know who you are. Come, tell me your name. Gentlemen, now we come to two tremendous points that every rabbi should recognize. Talking about Chicago. Reb Aaron Soloveitchik was opposed to building an Erev. How many of you knew Reb Aaron Soloveitchik? Reb Aaron Soloveitchik was very strong in his opinions. He was the nicest person alive, the most approachable, the most human, the most just filled with gemilat chesed. And on the other hand, when he took a point of view, he was like a cedar tree. Am I right, Vic? Am I describing him correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, we got it.
I remember him in a wheelchair
whenever in the airport. Lo aleinu. And that's part of the fact, that he was like a cedar tree and he wouldn't yield, wouldn't bend. And, you know, he was right, but people with a different personality might have been able to swing in the breeze with what went on in Chicago. Anyway, I don't want to criticize him at all. Don't misunderstand me, because I loved him. He was a gonadir and a mensch and edelkeit. So here, Reb Menashe Klein is sitting in Brooklyn, and he gets this invitation, and he says, I'll be happy to help you, but only if all the rabbis are united. I do not want to get involved in a local struggle between rabbis. Gentlemen, let me tell you a story out of the Rakefet Lifeline. Had a student in the Kolo whom you all know. He teaches in this building. His name is Rabbi Avi Schneider. Recognize the name? You're a madrich, so you certainly know him. So he once calls me from Boca. What's his Shaila? Told the story years ago. It was Shavuot night. The Reform Temple invited him to speak. Should he go? The first question I asked him, what does your local rabbi say? Chok v'lo ya'avar. don't get involved in machloket. I will never paskin a delicate shaila for a local community without the permission of the rabbi. He's the Muradiatra. Now, Avi's comeback was, it's the local rabbi who's sending me. Who is the rabbi? Rabbi Kenny Branda. Kenny Branda wanted him to go. So I put down a condition, you're the only speaker. It's not that you're going to have... No, they're going to introduce me, that they want to learn what orthodoxy is about. I would say, I don't like the word orthodox. They want to learn what Torah is about. And he is the only speaker. I said, and Rabbi Branda says you should go. Should go? He wants me to go. I said, then absolutely go and be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. You should know what came out of it. He walked back to Boca. Now, if you know Florida, that area, suburbia, like the Hamptons, there are no streets to walk on. So here he is, walking back, no streets to walk on, and a police car is driving in front of him, Adam, a police car paving the way. It was on the front news of every Floridian newspaper the next day. Rabbi escorted by police car on the Jewish festival. But notice, I wouldn't paskin when he told me, Kenny Brandis in favor. Then I asked him, is it a symposium? You see, the problem with a symposium is that you're sitting there as Orthodox rabbi, here's the conservative rabbi, here's the Reform rabbi, she is a humanist, doesn't believe in God, she's not Jewish, only her father is, not her mother, and she's a lesbian. And what? The Meisim B'chol Yom. And you're making a statement that we're all equal. You follow me, Dov? Take your choice. This is a difficult question. I can't do it. Others can do it. Rabbi Lamb went to Limud in London. He went. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I have to apologize. I don't know what. I think the Rav would agree with me. I don't know. Others say the Rav would agree with them. I don't know. The Rav is. This Limud began after the Rav stopped functioning. So we don't know what his opinion was. But I personally cannot do it. Fine. He makes one condition. That condition, take with you the rest of your lives. Know your limitations. None of us are all powerful. None of us are all bright. Also, to paskin a shaila, you have to be in the community. And we discussed this. Reb Hershel Schechter gave a talk in Beit Shemesh. I can't say I agree with everything in the talk on Das Torah. Was it last year? My phone was ringing off the hook. Everyone is, do you agree? Do you agree? But one point he made that's absolutely right. You can't go and ask a shayla on Yom Ha'atzmut to the Satmar Rebbe. You follow me? The Satmar Rebbe, what does he know? What does he know? Tzva Haganah Yisrael. What does he know? Yehuda V'Shomron. I just told someone from America, from Muncie, who called me and needed some information. So I told him, we're all suffering with the scandals. We're all suffering. And I tell people, don't lose faith. You want to see great Jews? Go to Yehuda V'Shomron and see some of the couples there, what their values are, what type of children they're raising. It'll give you back your faith in the continuity of the Jewish people. Washington, D.C. and Lawrence Farrakhaway do not give me that continuity, do not give me my faith back. They just tell me that we Orthodox Jews are like any other civilized person living in the Western world, no different than Bill Clinton, no different than JFK, no different perhaps than Obama. We're in the same boat, and that's a frightening message. So, we don't know it all, but there's no question. If you're not in the community, you don't know the little ins and outs, the pitchikas, the little matters that you have to have under your thumb if you're going to give an answer. And most shilas, you should know, are not shilas that are the writer. You're dealing here with hashkafa. You're dealing here with questions that involve a lot of finesse and understanding. And my first question was, you can ask Avi, what does the local rabbi say? Okay, and that's a rule of the thumb I've always lived by because I've been in many different communities. And then Balabatim, you know, like to dig a rabbi, so they'll say, Harav Rakefet, you're such a great scholar, you're visiting, it's our honor to have you. What do you think about this? And the standard right away, they want to give a shtach. I was once asked in Los Angeles, I'll never forget, why don't we say kabbonet? Why does the rabbi skip kabbonet? What do you do in Israel? So I answered very judiciously, we begin davening from Mizmashir, Baruch Shama. Everything before that we say at home. Did I tell him whether or not I say kabbonet? I didn't say a word, but I didn't want to embarrass the rabbi, a balabas. This is his first point. His second point here is very fascinating. And he says, yes, if you will bring me an invitation by all the rabbis, and I imagine what he meant by all the rabbis was that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik will also sign on. I am willing to come to Chicago. But you should know that I make a condition that I will not be paid at all. And he says, whatever I do in these matters, I do l'shem shemayim. U'kumuvan she'ini mevakesh shum scha achas v'shalom avu tirchati v'chalki b'tziruf la'asiyat mitzvah d'rabanan imachem yiyeh schari. Okay? Wow. That's a powerful statement. Kol hakavod to Rav Menashe Katan. I don't think he was a multimillionaire. He's not like the Bavis or the Hasidic Rabbeim who control hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. As you all know from reading the news here, what's going on and what I said last week, and I think it was in the Monday class, I don't remember. But that is admirable. And a Rav, this was the secret of Rabbi Riskin. He got a salary. He did not take an extra penny beyond his salary. Siddur Kedushin, whatever he had to do was part of the rabbinate. I believe that Rabbi Lukstein, Haskell Lukstein, who has the most important shtaller outside the state of Israel, and maybe the most important shtaller in the whole world, Kehillat Yeshurin, KJ, the Balabatim who daven, they are davening with a who's who in jury, and he does not take a penny outside. All right, he gets a decent salary. Rabbi Riskin got a decent salary. But there never was the schnarkheit involved or the meaning of the rabbinate. I remember when I came to Mithala and I didn't know Israeli mentality yet. I was first learning. I was an Olech Hadash, as they used to say. So I think I've told you that every week I used to meet with some of my older students, daughters of very prominent rabbona and rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen Biafna, Rabbi Goldwicks, Rabbi Klein Goldwicks' daughter, Rabbi Kalman Kahana's daughter, very prominent ladies who had very elegant families. And first of all, I would meet with them certain words I used in class. I would have to use an English word. I didn't know the Hebrew. They would write out for me the Hebrew word. For instance, I remember in 1971, I was looking for the crutches. How do you say crutches in Hebrew? Kabayim. So they taught me the word. How do you say multifaceted? Rav Goni. They taught me the word. And then I would ask them questions about the Israeli scene to get insights. I asked them, how can it be that Rabbi Lau, or I think it was Rabbi Metzger already, was the Rav of North Tel Aviv, and they say for every wedding he got $100. $100 was like telling you today he got $2,000, right? For the wedding, the Siddur Kedushin. And I was appalled. And they said to me, no, you have to understand that people in North Tel Aviv, they consider it an honor to give the rabbi a fortune of money. It's their mentality. That they're showing off. They make a wedding with golden glasses and beautiful silverware, so they got to give the rabbi upfront heavy money. But you see, ultimately, it degrades the rabbinate. And I don't have to go further. A former chief rabbi is going to spend, I don't know how many years in jail, but there's going to be a jail sentence. And lo aleinu, what we have in this country with some of our leaders, a rav has to be clean. His hands have to be clean. Okay? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just telling you the way Rakefet led his life. But I feel very strongly about this. Your rav of the shul, a salary, everything is in the salary. Mechirat Chametz, you don't realize what went on in there with the Elter Rabbanim in America, how they fought over Mechirat Chametz. You don't know what went on in the Shtiblach in Katamon. There was a whole Din Torah over who has the right to buy the to sell the Chametz for the congregants. And you know, it's money, it's money. He has a book in front of him. He writes names, and next to him is an open box, and you put the money in. All right. This is not the rabbin that we dream about. If you people insist, then make a box for Moyes Chitin, that the money that comes in goes to poor people. People have to give Moyes Chitin Minig Yisrael before Pesach. But I have to say, Rabbi Menashe Klein here is very powerful, and his message and his attitude, well taken. Obviously, what happened in Chicago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did not get on track, and the Erev was never built at that time. Today, I believe they do have an Erev in Chicago, but that is post Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, to say the least. And also, to be honest with you, many of the Talmidim of the Rabbanim were so opposed to the Erev, their attitude today is, we can't carry, but there has to be an Erev for Hamon Ha'am. And this is the Rav, this is what went on in Europe, this is what went on in Bris, this is what went on in Rotten. And to the best of my knowledge, I was in Chicago maybe 2 years ago, and as I recall, there was an Erev on Shabbos. I think I recall some people who were Talmidim Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did not carry, and they had a smaller Erev within the Erev, and like a backyard Erev to go from their homes to the shul, but the Chamon Ha'am was somach on the Erev. Let me go one step further. Time is ticking away. I want to thank my Talmud, Dr. Alan Blau, for a wonderful, wonderful source that ends off this part of the lectures on Eruvin. Dr. Blau, who listens to the Shayurim, sent me a copy of the Tshuva by the Munkat Sherav on Eruv. This Tshuva was written 1999-2000, Moshe Yehuda Lev Rabinovich Maran Admur Shlita Mi Munkach. Now, the story of Munkach is an interesting story, a great story and a sad story at the same time. How many of you are Hungarians here? How many of you come from Munkach or know about Munkach? All right, you could direct two people. Well, two people direct from Munkach. Adam, you're not from Munkach. Okay. Munkach was the epitome of Hungarian Jewry, Talmidei, Talmidav, Shalach HaTam Sofer. By the way, my grandson is married into a very elegant family with very big Ungarische HaTam Sofer Yichas, Unsdorfer, the Unsdorfer family. So I have, Baruch Hashem, two great-grandchildren already, who have within their blood a lot of mixtures, but it also includes the real Shtak Ungarische. The Munkach Rebbe, the Divrei Eliezer, he was 100% opposed to Zionism, very, very extreme. They say he made Rabbi Yoelish Teitelbaum look pale by comparison. I've always said that I have a warm spot in my heart from the Munkacha, and you can see why if you go to YouTube. When the Munkacha's daughter got married in 1935, when a Rebbe's daughter gets married, it becomes a major event, and on the way to the wedding in a carriage surrounded by Hasidim, they were making movies of the wedding for the, it could be the Hungarian television, Hungarian movies to send overseas. And the Rebbe was opposed to pictures, movies, but they told him, Rebbe, we will show this in America. The Rebbe heard that, and he agreed to be interviewed. Now, what the Rebbe said moves me until today. Most people, you would make a movie at that time at the Zweisen in America, and they would talk about American Jews, we need your money, we're poor, we're starving, we need help. Stitzens mit Geld. You're in a golden country, Baruch Hashem, you make a living. Don't forget the Jews left behind. He didn't say one word about money. He said, Yidden, and he broke into tears, you should be Shomer Shabbos in America. And even though the Munkacher and Rakefer, who are we to judge, we live in different worlds in Zionism, and remember his Talmud Mufak was Rav Teichtel, the Eim HaBanim Smecha. So I'm much more with the Eim HaBanim Smecha than I am with the Munkacher. But the fact that that's what he said, he bought my heart with those words. So that was the Munkacher. He was the famous one. I'll tell you the names of his son. We'll reach it from inside. I'll tell you the names. Well, the Minchat Laza is the famous Sfarad. The Minchat Laza, that's what I wanted to say. The Minchat Laza, I correct myself. I correct myself and I correct Vic. Okay? The Minchat Laza. What a posek, lamden, knowledge. I've quoted in my shirm on Yontif Sheni. I spent a year and a half on Yontif Sheni before some of you were born. I quoted so much from the Minchat Laza. He ran away from Israel because he couldn't handle Yontif Sheni. He was the keeping partially Yontif Sheni and everywhere else it's Chol. He saw he was wrong in keeping. You can't keep Yontif Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. But he lives in Hungary. He had to get back there. He could keep a real Yontif Sheni. But an interesting individual.
YouTube. Yeah,
I said YouTube. Didn't I say YouTube? I saw it. Someone sent me a link to it. I saw what you can get on YouTube. It's beyond words what's available on the internet. It's you can spend your whole life learning Bekedusha V'Tara and seeing Fabrengens. And on YouTube you have the Majid's the songs in Borough Park last Hanukkah. I tell you, whenever the news gets me down about Rabbanim here over the world, I just turn that on. Wow. Ben Sion Shenka, I'll look for you. I saw some YU guys. My Talmidim were there. A number of Rabbi Reichman was there. Aaron Krantz was there. Another Talmud of mine was there. You were there too. Wow. And Rabbi Sion Shenker in his 90s. What a powerful voice. God should spare me like that. It was a sight to see. Beautiful. And the Rebbe, he was on the way to the airport, I'm told. He had spoken at a dinner, and he was on the way to the airport. Am I right or wrong? On the way to the airport, coming back to Israel, they asked him to detour to Borough Park to hold that. What shul was it held in?
Moshe Wilson.
Moshe, which shul is that? That's Moshe Wilson of Torah Vadas?
Yes.
Of Torah Vadas, the Mashkiach.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
I have pictures on my phone.
Uh-huh. But you got to hear the singing. Oh, beautiful. Anyway, now the Munkacher had a son-in-law, Rabbi Baruch Rabinovich was a gon adir.
But Rabinovich is a Russian-sounding name. These are
Magyars. Wherever his son-in-law came from, there were Rabinowitzes in Hungary too, I can assure you. But I don't know where the son-in-law was born, Baruch Rabinovich. And Baruch Rabinovich, I'm pronouncing it the way they do in Israel, Rabinowitz in English. And he was, as Rakefet writes in Washington, Hitler killed 6 million and destroyed the lives of at least another 5 million, if not more. Even yours truly, who was third generation American, I'm positive some of my high blood pressure is due to the memoir books I've read about what the Nazis did to us, what the world did to us, how the world supported them, and oh, God have mercy. The doors were closed, don't have to go into detail now. Baruch Rabinovich is a very tragic figure. He was a gon adir. Kol HaTorah Kula was in his palms. And he became, from the Munkach point of view, Lo Aleinu, the son-in-law of the Munkach Rebbe, became a Zionist. He became a Rav in Israel. But he never really found his place. He always was tortured, always caught between two worlds. He winds up in South America, chief rabbi, one of the cities, I think it was in Brazil, you can check it out. Argentina, check it out. Comes back to Israel. He has great-grandchildren here. They were also on YouTube, all with kippot serugot, from 100%, totally integrated into the Israeli Tzioni Dati Torah scene. They just did a video for the kids bar mitzvah that was circulated all over the world. It's a great-grandson, you know, I believe, or a grandson, I think a great-grandson. Yes, a great-grandson of the Munkach, a grandson of Baruch Rabinovitz, if I'm not mistaken. Now, he had one son who went to America. That son went to Tells, and he became the Munkach. He declared himself the successor to the Munkach title. And that's where you hear the name Moshe Yehuda Leib Rabinovitch. He already is much closer in Hashgafa to his grandfather. And Efir Tavel, he's one of the more powerful Rebbeim, because Borough Park has many Rebbeim in it. He's one of the more powerful of the so-called younger element, although he's no youngster anymore, in Borough Park. From this kuntris, I can see he's a Talmud Chacham. He reviews everything I've spoken about for the last year and a half beautifully. And you're going to see some golden points. Points that go way behind a riven. But you know what's amazing? He took Rav Moshe on. And I have to say, you have to give credit that he goes out in this machloket and stands very firmly behind those who are mekil regarding Erev in Borough Park. So my dear students, to reiterate, first of all, to remind everyone, we're davening Maariv right after Shir. Please do not leave until you are certain that there is a minyan here. It is a chesed to the older people sitting in this room, myself included. Okay? Number two, what do we do today, all right? We did a world. Rav Mordechai Tendler, Rav Moshe. Is it really Rav Moshe? If it's really Rav Moshe, why is he so vociferous? Why did the Agudat Rabbanim become so strident, so cantankerous against Rav Menashe HaKatan? We saw Rav Menashe's tshuva to Chicago, and we learned about from that tshuva, don't get involved unless there's unanimity among the Rabbanim. You can't come into Chicago and slap Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's face. We also learned about a little selflessness. A Rav has to have dignity when it comes to money. And I totally agree with Rav Menashe HaKlein here. Am I right or wrong? It's up to you to decide. But if someone really wants to give you money, give it to your charity. Give it to something. Let them give it where you feel happy, where you feel it's a good accomplishment. Let it be given in your honor. But our hands have to be clean. And I can give you many illustrations. There's a story out of Melbourne. I taught the rabbi's grandchildren, but he was involved in a terrible machlokes with the kehillah over a Yerusha that was left to him. And the shul said, you're the rabbi. It was really left to us. And there was endless machloket that leaves scars until today. Then we spoke about Reb Moshe Yehuda Leib Rabinovich Yehuda, spelt with an aleph at the end. Your father that already tells you something about where he stands, where he is at. Next week, Bezrat Hashem will pick up what he has to say. We'll pick up the picture book on a Reuven. We'll pick up the Flatbush Arum. And we will bitterly miss Vic Snow, whose name in America becomes Vic Rain, because one bad snow in Jerusalem scared the heck out of him. And let me tell you, we had left Dov, you don't know, we're lucky we're alive yet. So many people fell and broke limbs, Rabbi Reuben included. Yours truly, don't ask. Gentlemen, this is for Rabbi Reuben. Did you get an update from Etna?
Yes.
Okay, so you are, so I accomplished that. I don't have to give you this. Pass this back, please, to Rabbi Reuben. If anyone is interested, this is, again, Chachmei America. Interesting details of Rabbanim in America. Notice the picture. Look how saintly the rabbis look. But unfortunately, what did they accomplish? You follow? But people today love the pictures. They don't realize what a difficult time it was. If anyone is interested, they're fabulous pictures there, fabulous insights. Okay, until we meet again tomorrow morning, I witness tomorrow morning for all the rice in China and all the falafel in Morocco. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya, give out the sidurim, Zev, they're right there, Yomo, right there, and Vic, give us a bahu racham.